Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 255 on December the 17th.
Yeah, it is, and we've got some special guests.
We do.
Right here in our podcast location at Adam Brothers in Greenville, Illinois. And it's a beautiful holiday season, and this is the, let's see, well, I want to make sure I get through all of the things I need to talk about. Oh, but this is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Absolutely, Don. I was waiting for that one.
Got them all. But you recently conducted a series of seminars, training seminars on how to write an older woman's legacy. And it was called the Older Women's Legacy Memoir Writing Workshop.
Right. And of course, what attracted me to that initially was the word OWL.
So, O-W-L.
Uh-huh, Older Women's Legacy. OWL stood for that. And it was a writing workshop. And we talked about, you and I, Don, creating memories and recording them. We do that in the magazine. We share a lot of people's memories. And we said, what better way to reach out to people that want to do the same thing, but to find a program such as this.
And how many times have we sat down, you know, to think about one thing or another about our family past, and we go, well, the only person that knew anything about that was your mother, and she's gone.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people find that same thing. We were luckier than some people in that when Mom and I had the senior review, she wrote a lot of her stories down for articles. And so I've got those almost by default, but we wanted to make it an intentional situation for others to be able to tell their stories and to keep them for themselves. And some things, it's important to tell your own life story, not just so future generations have it, but you can kind of work through and see why you do what you do, what you want to do differently, your goals, kind of evaluate your whole situation and say, this is where I want to take my life, and this is what I've learned from the past and others. So it was a good blend. This particular workshop is a 5-session workshop. We put information in the magazine, put information out on Facebook, and said, just wondered if we could get enough interest to have a group of women come together. And we found the 6 of us, and we've got 3 of those ladies here in person.
So here in the studio,
yes,
and our guests on the program are Bonnie Papp,
mm-hmm.
we have Val Gaffner, mm-hmm. and we have Connie Simberger. And there's a conversation to go on about that, too, because we misspelled her name in the magazine, and we are so deeply apologetic. Welcome, gals. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Let's go around and find out what inspired you to even come and take the workshop to begin with. And then later we'll also talk about what you enjoyed, what surprised you about the workshop, what you expected from it, and just a whole variety of things. So, Connie, let's start with you here and tell us what you were hoping to find in a workshop like this and what were you looking for?
Well, to start off with, we like to eat at a certain place in Vandalia, and they happen to just give your magazine away.
We so, like that.
Yes. And so I could probably say the name of the place, Chuck Wagon.
Uh-huh.
And so while we're waiting on our meal to come, Warren and I would always grab a couple of them, and we would read it. And so I noticed it right off, and I thought, that's something I would really like to do. I think I said earlier to our group here that we have 10 grandchildren. They don't live too close, but I would like for them to get to know me and Orin better and have something down that they could enjoy and have a feel for what we had as growing up as children and what our parents were like. And so with that, when that was offered, I hope I could say I was the first one. I'm probably not the first one to contact you and say, hey, I want to do this. But I did want to do it, and so
And here you sit.
Uh-huh, and here I am.
Uh-huh. Let's go ahead and go on to Val, and then we'll come back to you too. Val, what inspired you to take this workshop?
It just seemed something interesting. I've got a lot of stories in my head that I want my kids to know, and the way my memory goes sometimes, I'm afraid I'm going to forget them and that, so I wanted to get them on paper. And also, I'd like to write a book someday, a child's book, and I thought this would just add to that.
Well, and speaking of that, one thing we wanted to say was no one had to come to this workshop as a writer. A lot of us just came because we wanted to tell our stories, write them down, share them. The goal was not to be an expert writer, but we've found that people say it helps them to write and to write better than they even thought. So that's kind of been a nice perk of it, I think, was to share your story, but to also learn the process of getting that down on paper.
Yes, I agree with that.
And you've got a creative path in you already. In your photography, which has, by the way, been featured twice in the magazine.
Thank you very much.
And I just love digging through your Facebook page because that's a great place to put pictures, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And I'm honored that you like them. So.
We do. You know that. And it's been fun to get to know you through your work, and so we're glad you were a part of this. So it's been nice to have Connie and Val, and now we'll go to Bonnie, and you tell us a little bit about why you wanted to take the class.
The first experience I had with wanting to leave a legacy was one of my daughters bought a book for my mother, and it was entitled Grandma Was a Good Old Girl.
Oh, cute.
And we had so hoped that she would fill out and complete that book for us, but that didn't completely happen. But that was the first thing that got me started on that. Knowing that I would like to leave my story, my legacy for my kids, where I came from, where it all started. And mm-hmm. we had an opportunity, my husband and I, to do an event in Chicago. And it was on the subject of our legacy. And just about a month later, I picked up your newspaper in I think it was the Green Earth in Edwardsville.
Oh, yeah.
And that is where I saw the introduction that you were offering, and it was just burning on me to call you and get that set up.
Well, and I think you're talking about, who was the first. I think you were the first to call, Bonnie, because we didn't know even when we were going to have a date.
Exactly.
It was just a, toss out there, are you interested? And
right.
From that, we kind of confirmed the date. So it was that 5 workshop series through October and November. And it was really a good time. It was before the craziness of the holiday season that everybody's in right now. And we enjoyed ourselves so much. And I think one thing that you've all said is that the conversations and the friendships that grew out of the workshop was a perk to the writing. So if you want to talk to that a little bit too, like some of the ladies that aren't here tonight, we got to know them and just thoroughly enjoyed their company as well, mm-hmm. didn't we?
Now, I found that most everybody that was here is really a hoot.
Which is perfect for the Owl Creek Gazette.
And they're exceptional women. And they are women that I would have never met had I not joined the writing class.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel blessed that I've done so.
Well, thank you. I think we all found that same kind of relationship and feeling blessed to know each other, too, enough mm-hmm. that we want to continue and do a second workshop. So that speaks volumes of the relationship that we've all developed. Val, can you share a story that you told in the workshop, and then we also had you write for us in the magazine. Would you mind sharing that right now with us?
Sure.
Okay.
It's called My Great Aunt Clara. My great aunt Clara Buckelman was one of my favorite people. She lived with her husband Francis on a wonderful self-sufficient farm near Coal Camp, Missouri. Aunt Clara always had the house smelling like homemade bread, which she just pulled out of the oven. She was a beautiful woman with a sweet laugh, a twinkle in her eye, and more wrinkles than anyone I ever knew. She earned everything through hard work. She gardened, had a small orchard and berries, raised chickens and 2 daughters, canned, baked, cooked, churned butter, and sewed. Aunt Clara's house was a beautiful 2-story farmhouse. It had gorgeous woodwork, pocket doors, cool doorknobs and hinges, and it was full of beautiful antiques. Her feather beds were always adorned with colorful handmade quilts. They had a working windmill from which the drinking water came. Uncle Francis would bring a bucket in every morning after he milked the cows and sat on a cart and had a ladle to dip in it and drink from, the best water ever. I have always admired her for many reasons. She loved her farm animals, especially the cows, as I do. And I inherited her wrinkles, too.
I think what we found is the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. When you're reading that, I can just see you out on your own farm doing your thing. Makes me wish I could have visited her when she was alive.
The only difference is she wore a dress and I wear jeans.
Yeah. think of that, doing all that in a dress.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's wild. And, you know, I made a comment to you. I'm going to take a sidebar here. We've been watching The Crown on Netflix. It is taking Queen Elizabeth from being a child to being the adult queen of England. And currently it's in about 1960-ish era. And women are just now wearing pants in England. And it instead of dresses, I should say. But you don't think about that until it happens and you see it happen right in front of you. And you go, wow, pants. Who'd have thunk it?
Well, and it is interesting to see it sporadically. One or two women will be on the street in this series in pants. Everybody else is still dressed to the nines. You know, it's just amazing to me. Somebody said to me on Facebook, my birthday was a couple of days ago, and they said, we like your new Facebook picture. You look royal. And I just died laughing because I never think of myself that way. And it was meant as a compliment. It was really nice. But royal made me think of this series that we're talking about. And I said back to this guy that had said this, I put it that Queen Elizabeth and her pageantry and her pearls were a far cry from my blue jeans and my Mockingjay pin. And I said, so I appreciate the compliment, but, you know, I don't know that I'd ever get dolled up like that, and it was on a regular basis. But I think of my mom and her friends for years. That was even on vacation. They wore dresses. Mom mm-hmm. used to get her, quote, vacation dresses before anyone ever wore pants. So, but farming in your dress, that's an interesting...
You know, I remember my grandmother doing her garden in southern Missouri in a dress, and she'd get up and do it way early in the morning, and she'd have this bonnet on with a little skirt on the back of the bonnet, you know, where her neck wouldn't get sunburned, and she'd have all of her garden work done, say, before 9 or 10 in the morning.
Wow.
And I can remember that.
And even to the point where a dress becomes a utilitarian piece of hardware, you can... In a dress, you can carry vegetables out of the garden, you know?
True, she did in her apron.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. The apron was the real perk there, yeah.
Yeah, but if you didn't have an apron on, you could still carry vegetables.
But they had an apron on, be my guess.
Now, I put my apron on and I get burnt. So that's a different story altogether.
That is a different story. Speaking of your family, Connie, do you want to share what you had written for the magazine,
okay.
too?
Okay. My story, it came from the section of where you told a story about someone dear, and I wrote about my dad. I remember my dad seeming old to me, even as a child, especially when I looked at other parents. He was short, had black hair, with very pale sky blue eyes, and his nose was on the large size. My dad smoked like a chimney, always coughed a lot. But I always remember him as hardworking and honest. He had a quick wit and a great sense of humor. And there are two stories that I remember him telling. The first happened before Christmas when I was in the seventh grade. He had gone into the Western Auto Store out in Kansas where he thought he had recognized his cousin. And he promptly got behind him and goosed him. Now, Dad could have died on the spot when the guy turned around and my dad realized that it was not his cousin Cecil. However, it did not come to blows. The second story was when I asked him why my name was Connie and not Constance, as that there was at that time a beautiful movie star whose name was Constance. I was probably then between 8th and 9th grade. And to me, it was a big deal. Constance was beautiful. He knew my mom was listening, so he told me. We named you after one of my old girlfriends. And I could tell by the twinkle in his eyes that that was not the case. My mom came flying out of the kitchen to correct that. I can remember it so plain, even today, as to where my dad was sitting and where I was standing when she came flying out of the kitchen.
I've seen my mother come flying around the corner in the same. I can see my mother doing exactly the same thing to say something that the dad had.
To correct your father when he needed corrected. You know,
Dad needed correcting a lot, but she would do it just exactly that way.
Well, and in the workshop, we had prompts, ideas, suggestions that would make us think about what we wanted to write on specific topics. For instance, session one was you and the people who shaped you. Session two was memories. Session three was love and work. Section four was sad times, happy times. And session five was your lessons and your teaching. But we took those prompts and we found what also was a good prompt was the conversation we had among the group itself. So one story that may not have even come to our mind, we were triggered by something someone in the group said too. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really nice. I know that you also wrote something for us, Bonnie, that we put in the magazine. If you would like to read that too, that'd be great.
Okay. Mine was on a keepsake. And I was even able to bring the keepsake into the session with me. And it was my 60-year-old doll. On my fifth birthday, my mom and daddy bought me a beautiful bride doll. She had long brown hair, and all her body parts would move and bend. She was about 24 inches tall. I loved having her, and I played with her often. One day, for some reason, I gave her a haircut. I had found scissors in the past and had cut my own hair also, which didn't make my mom too happy either. Then the doll was put away, and I was told that I would have her when I was older. My mother returned her to me after I married and had my own child. Mother had made all new clothes for her and a matching bonnet. She is a unique keepsake and now 60 years old. I will soon pass her down to my own first daughter, Wendy.
And I think we can all relate to a doll we had growing up. I mean, I had Chatty Cathy and Patty Play Pal. Kind of things. I had a ballerina doll. So all of those, when you speak of one doll, my mind goes on to all the other dolls I had. And one of the things I remember we laughed at in the class so much is you said, your mom said that she would give you back the doll when you were older. And then you said, and I did when I grew up. And
when I was married and had my own child. That's right. It was a few years later, quite a few to say the least.
So we all got a kick out of that, and I'm sure your daughter's looking forward to that one day being hers.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Did we ever give Zachary baby Troy?
I think we've still got that. Cabbage Patch dolls. All our kids, mm-hmm. That was the rage. And girls and boys alike, it didn't matter, and we had a... Zach said,
I think we've got a birthday Christmas present.
He named his doll Troy, only he couldn't say Troy, so it was Baby Tuh. Uh-huh. And that was the Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah, well.
So let's talk a little bit about the friendships. You mentioned, Connie, about how you feel blessed to know these women and what we liked about them. But I think that some of us were surprised, I know I was, at how funny and how humorous the conversations turned often as we shared our memories. So we had two ladies that were in their 80s, Opal and Edith, and they never ceased to surprise us. And Edith had such a sense of humor. So does anyone want to speak to that, how she made you feel when we just hear her elaborate on something?
I found Edith to be very funny. And the funny thing was, she didn't know she was funny.
Right.
And she undoubtedly was a diehard Republican, and she would really get into a tangent on a couple of things, but always come back to, well, her daughter or this person or that person didn't really think she was that funny, and we were laying eggs listening to her.
I heard you roaring. I was in the other room.
Yeah. But no, they were all very sweet ladies.
Well, and, you know, speaking of that, talking about politics, we did talk briefly about politics, mm-hmm. and it didn't harm our friendship, relationship, no. or conversation at all.
No.
And we see in the larger picture, so often people get so angry at each other. Mm. We were able to interject that and share that and move right along. We didn't all have mm-hmm. to agree on everything.
No.
So it was a nice twist.
Yes.
Where you don't see that often.
Mm-hmm.
An exercise of the non-aggression principle.
That's right. We just shared our beliefs and moved on. And yeah, and I think we always found we had more in common than we had different.
I think so, too. I think we were all at an age, and we had all gone through similar experiences,
mm-hmm.
you know, marriage, husbands, children, whatever, the church. It appeared to me like everybody here was... had a religious bent, whether it was Catholic or Methodist or whatever.
And it meant their faith, the way they felt was so interwoven in their life.
Right.
I think it was just an automatic part of the conversation, don't
right.
you?
Mm-hmm. There was no pretentiousness about it.
Yeah.
And that was the easy part to talk to everybody about.
Yeah. And I think that if we come together, well, we all plan to come together again because we don't want to lose contact with each other, which speaks well for the group of people, too. But I think back to the program, it lends itself to that. If you have people really interested in telling and sharing their stories mm-hmm. and you find those common grounds, then the memories that get shared, well, we talk about you ladies a lot. Something will say, you know, Don and I will be talking at home and something will trigger a conversation we all have. And I said, well, like so-and-so said in the workshop. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it's nice to take that with us.
Well, what are they, you know, they've always said that you don't talk about religion or politics or...
And we did both.
True. Sex and the...
But we did it.
In mm-hmm. the impolite company. But, yeah, mm-hmm. we have more common ground sometimes, I think, than people give individuals credit for.
Mm-hmm. And if we allow ourselves to focus on that, we're all better off, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of dolls, when we learned about your doll, Connie, Bonnie, when we learned about your doll, it got the conversation going to another doll that Connie experienced and told us about and even brought, so we got to meet two different dolls. Yours was a jar baby. So you want to tell folks a little bit about that?
We were traveling in southern Missouri, and I like to stop at antique store or gift shop, and they had this beautiful little doll, and the body part of it was enclosed, but it was a jar, a mason jar, and the outside of it had the legs and the arms attached, and the lid to it had the head, and it had different types of hairdos on it, and it could be used like a safe. You could screw the head off and put something in it and then set it on the shelf and it would be okay. And my problem was, when I brought it into our group, was that I have 10 grandchildren and I wanted to give each one of them a jar baby, including the boys, and I needed three more and I only had 7. And so I was asking these ladies if they would ever see one or hear about it or whatever, to let me know that I wanted to buy one. And so I brought them in to share and to show with the ladies.
Well, and I took a picture and put it up on Facebook, and I can't say it went viral.
it's not that
noteworthy, but it was really exciting to see how many people did share it, and everyone was intrigued by it. And I Googled and I searched, and I cannot find a jar baby except the ones that Val and I found that were just scary jar babies.
Yes.
I don't even know.
I don't know who made those
they
up.
They were creepy scary. And Val and I said to each other, I hope this isn't, before we'd seen him, I hope this isn't the jar baby that Connie's talking about.
The jar baby metamorphosis.
Yeah, but yours was sweet and cute and darling, and we still haven't.
Somebody had a beautiful imagination.
Yes.
And after talking to Val here, I come to realize that the eyes were probably painted on. And I didn't know that, so I just live and learn, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, we still have our, speaking of eyes, we have our eyes open.
Yes.
For jar babies.
Yes.
That's right. So as long as we've got you talking here, would you tell us another story you wrote about your mom?
Okay. This was in a different section, I think either the third or the fourth one, and it was a story concerning our relationship with someone. And so I wrote about my mom. What I remember most about Mom was her patience, never griping or complaining about what was missing. She had a tendency to wait on us kids, as my grandma would say, hand and foot. But I had a migraine problem, and it did not come from her side, but from my dad. He suffered also. For me, she would brush my hair for what seemed like hours and hours until I went to sleep. By sleeping, my headache usually went away. We had no Excedrins or caffeine back then, and looking back, I am so thankful for her for doing that. Now to this day, after having outgrown the plague of the migraine, and while getting a haircut, I can almost fall asleep. It's almost hypnotic to me, and I think that my hairdresser thinks I'm joking with her, but I'm really not.
Moms could be so very comforting, yes. Couldn't they? Mm-hmm. I think we've all experienced that.
Oh, yeah. And my mom was a hairdresser, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I used to wash hair. As soon as I was old enough and tall enough to reach over the counter sink. And in the sink, and I had women on there put their neck in the head in that neck thing. I was a good little massager, and I got paid for it too.
Child labor.
Yeah, it was child labor. 50 cents a head.
It's a good experience though for you, yeah. Don.
Oh, it was.
I think every man needs to do that.
Well, and you know, it was so natural to him that when Mom was sick and living with us the last few weeks of her life, she wanted her hair washed, and she just wasn't up to getting up. And Don created this little container. We laid her hair back in it. He'd taken a pan.
It was a turkey baster pan.
Yeah.
You know, a nice big aluminum pan. I could form that neck, put that thing, you know, the towel in there, and away we went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it felt so good to her and to get her hair all clean and done.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you weren't afraid to dive right
in. Not at all.
Right?
Dove right in.
Well, something
you're
we had.
Make me cry.
I know. That's what. Well, we did a lot of that too. The tears brought to our eyes. Laughter and tears came. Mm-hmm. Happy tears and sad tears, all at the same time. We shared. So
this can't be just for women. Men have got to be able to do this too.
Well, and that's a good point. And when kind of you said that we had so much in common. We're all of the same age, and I think that the reason they did this workshop for women only, a lot of times you talk differently with women than you do with a group. Men would do the same. So I think there's benefits of having us separated, and I think there's benefits of having us together. And I just think this particular one was created for women to feel comfortable.
I think it works best, don't you two, with having a woman first?
Yes.
I think once I get more comfortable... it's all right with Don here. He's doing the other stuff, and we're not paying any attention to him. But I'm saying I think to get us started on talking and writing and everything, I would be willing to do this with just women for a while, and then work up to where you know the men can be included.
I think
and
so too.
I wouldn't be so self-conscious about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. And I think of the women over 50 too is important too, because we all say what we and. Part of the class was to talk about what you knew at age 20, what you knew at age 30, what you knew at age 40. We all laughed and said, we didn't know anything at 20. But at 20, we thought we did, and rightfully mm-hmm. so. But you learn, hopefully, we all become wiser with life. So before we close, I want to go around and talk about Christmas memories that we were thinking about writing. And if you guys have anything special you want to share, now we've not taken time to write this down yet, but think about a Christmas memory that you might like to share before we close out. Something about your tree, a special gift, an ornament, anything that you might like to share. And Bonnie, would you like to start us off with that?
Okay. Probably my greatest memory is about a person that I shared with when I was very young. I lived in East St. Louis, and my older brother still lived in our home, and then there was a younger brother before me. And our tradition was Christmas Eve celebration, and Mother would take us out to look at the Christmas lights, drive all up and down the street and all around. And then
we do that today.
we would then do a candlelight service at, I think it was a Methodist church at the time. But then when we came home, Santa had been there. And if we got there a little too early, you would see Dad and Bud just scramble, you know, from the tree to get, you know, the last thing set around. So I did. That was very cherished memories because I didn't have Dad too long in my life. He passed away when I was only 8 years old. So the rest of my Christmases were without him, but not in my heart.
Sure. That's nice. And Christmas Eve is such a special time like that. Was your tree already up?
Yes.
And so they were just putting presents and things around the tree.
Okay. And it was always a live tree.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's another thing I was going to say, too. We had done live trees that actually had the roots on them, and we planted them. Mm-hmm. And there's that, and then there's the live tree, and then there's the artificial, and there's nothing like the smell of a living tree in your living room.
Yes. My daughter and son-in-law did that a couple of years and brought the tree to our house because we have 2 acres of property in Pontoon Beach, and so they planted the evergreens in our front lot.
Yeah. Are they still growing alive and well, or did you?
Actually, just about 2 years ago, they were overtaken, I think, with some kind of a bug or a disease, and they both died at the same exact time and had to be taken down.
Well, then you just need to get 2 more in there. You got 2 more Christmases ahead. Make those arrangements right now. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Val.
Do you have a Christmas memory you'd like to share?
I've got lots, but my favorite part of it is going to the midnight candlelight service, which is usually 11 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve. And when it's over, it's Christmas morning. And it's nice if it starts snowing during the sermon or service. And, you know, that's the whole reason for Christmas is Jesus. And,
absolutely.
You know, so that's my favorite part of it. Above the presents.
It reminds me, too, because when I grew up, all of my friends went to the Catholic Church for Midnight Mass. Mm-hmm. Whether we were Catholic or not, it was like a community tradition. And so I can remember coming out and standing in the middle of the street because there was no traffic at that time as church was coming out. And a couple of times it did snow. So you come out after the experience of church, and there in the middle of that is that snow. It's just perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
So what do you have for a Christmas memory, Connie?
Well, it's more on the crazy side. again, I'm in Pittsburgh, Kansas, where I was born, and they have some hard winters out there. And I was probably third, fourth grade, and Christmas came, and I wanted a sled. We had a lot of snow, and I wanted this sled so bad. Well, Christmas came and went, and Connie didn't get a sled. And Connie was really disappointed. My birthday is January 7th, and I thought, I'll get my sled then. Oh, my birthday come and went, and no sled. And back then, my parents didn't prepare us too well. My mom was pregnant, and I didn't know it. And I think I was third grade. And so on January the 20th, this cousin of my dad, Cecil, him and his wife picked me and my brother up at school and took us home and said, well, we ate supper there, and, well, we'll take you home, but you've got something out at your house. You're just going to love it. Well, my first thought went to a sled. And I was so excited, and Aunt Jane asked me, you know, what I thought it was, and I said, a sled. No, it wasn't a sled, but it was something better. And she would trade me their sled for what was at home. And I thought to myself, now, wait a minute, I better look at this. Maybe I not best trade it off without looking and seeing. And so they took me home and went back to the bedroom and that, and there's my mom laying there with this little baby. And I am shocked, absolutely shocked to no end. And finally, somebody, I don't know who, asked me what I thought. And my disappointment, I said, oh, it's just another mouth to feed. Oh, my gosh. My mom and dad was awful. I can't believe you said that. And then my Aunt Jane backed out of trading me. It's like, this is not working out. So my brother Tom, who I'm like 8 or 9 years older, does not let me live this down. So my thing is, I try to tell my story my way and put a better spin on it than he does. So that's one that I really, really remember.
Yeah, I bet.
You wanted to trade that baby for that sled, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was ready to trade.
Well, if you're going to invite people to come and join us in future workshops, what could you say to them to let them know that this might be something that would be up their alley? And if you just want to, Bonnie, tell us just some thoughts on why someone else might want to try this out themselves.
Oh, it is very inspiring, very uplifting. Actually, my friend Debbie has wanted to read my materials. She's been so intrigued by what I'm doing. She said, I have really stepped out of the box. Mm-hmm. So I think she would be interested, and just most anyone that, mm-hmm. you know, wants to leave some good, wholesome information for their kids and their kids to come.
Well, and I think the nice thing, too, is not only does this get you inspired to write, you can save this and review it yourself and then build on what you've written in or out of the group. Don't you think that's another mm-hmm. plus, too?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Val, do you have any words of wisdom there to invite someone to come?
I think it's a way of triggering things in your memory that you might have forgot, and, you know, putting it in a timeline. And mm-hmm. I've just come up with things that I'd forgotten about, or, you know, add to or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just listening to the other ladies' stories, too, it just triggers things
yes,
that were similar
does.
To mine. And mm-hmm. so I would definitely, you know, recommend it to anybody that's interested in writing their memoirs.
And Connie, you want to close us out here with what you might suggest someone, why they take this
well,
on?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. I think Val summed it up perfectly. And the other thing, too, is that I think it's been highly entertaining.
Definitely.
For us to hear stories. And I think, too, that it's, for me, it has triggered memories that I had more or less forgotten about and wouldn't necessarily write down or share with somebody unless I had been prompted mm-hmm. to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And like Bonnie, I did find, now that you've got me into this, I did find a little booklet. It's for a grandpa, Getting to Know Grandpa. And it's one that you fill in, but it's more juvenile
mm-hmm.
and that it's for the little kids than what this is. This is far more adult, and it's just great.
Well, and we may have down the road come up with a couple's workshop like this. That might even be fun if husbands and wives wanted to come together and mm-hmm. share that. But like you said, first we'll get inspired and kind of get a feel for how to do this. Mm-hmm. And then we might grow out of there. You never know what direction we'll head mm-hmm. this in. So thanks for coming to the workshop, sharing your memories with us, sharing your memories with our listeners and our Owl Creek Gazette readers. And it's just been a delight to have you all here. And thanks for coming tonight.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been. Don got to hear all the stories kind of in the background.
I did. I heard him in the background.
Both of you is too.
Yes. Oh, well, thank
so
you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you thought about doing this.
Well, good. That makes me feel good. It was what we wanted it to be and more, don't you think?
Oh, it was yes. more than I anticipated.
Yeah. So all right. You all have a Merry Christmas, and we'll just share memories in February again, hopefully.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yes. That'll be fun. Y'all take care now.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.